Well, it's good to see you all. Let's go to the Word of God this morning. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9, and then I want to read down through verse 13 this morning. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Everybody said knowledge. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Amen. Well, praise God. I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about the students of knowledge. Students of knowledge. Amen. Knowledge is the principal thing, wisdom and knowledge. And I'm preaching to some young people here this morning. This is a very, very important subject for you. And for moms and dads and everybody here this morning, if we can become students of knowledge, amen, whom shall he teach knowledge? Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Somebody pray with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for your presence this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Let's lift our voices right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray your hand upon this service. Oh, my God, move in our midst this morning. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. So good to be back in the house of God. I believe this morning that the Lord wants all of us to walk in knowledge, and I say that because from the very beginning, the Lord instituted knowledge. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good, everybody said good, and evil. Amen. God made the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And one reason this tree was forbidden, because it was the wisdom of this world. It was the knowledge of this world. Amen. And it was of good and evil. And that's why you can get a lot of different opinions about knowledge. Some will say, well, this is good and we have good things. And that is true. But we have to be able to filter the good from the bad. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And that's one thing you've got to be careful about when it comes to the internet. I believe it is the modern-day tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's nothing that tells you what is right and what isn't right, and in fact, a large percentage of the internet is pornography, and so we need to be careful, mom and dad, about what we allow our young people to look at.
Amen.
Well, I thought I'd get a good amen out of that one. Praise God, but it is still very, very true. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was forbidden because the focus of this tree was earthly, sensual, and devilish, according to the word of God. And yet in that same garden there was another tree, and the Bible says it was the tree of life. And that's what we need. We need life. Amen. We need life. Amen. We need the light of God and the life of God in us. And I believe this morning that one was attractive, one was not attractive, because the things of God, all of the things of God, to the unregenerated, unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl, the things of God are not as attractive as the things of this world. And that's where we have to be very careful and very vigilant to help our children and our grandchildren to be able to discern between one and the other. Praise God. And you say, well, why did God do that? Why did the Lord make a tree of the knowledge of good and evil and put it in the garden and put a serpent in there that would tempt them to try to tempt them to eat of the fruit of that tree? Excuse me. And it comes down to a choice. Somebody said choice. Comes down to a choice. We have a choice that we can make, and that choice is to take the tree of this world and eat of the fruit of it. We can take the tree of bitterness because of things that have happened to us, and we can go in that direction and not have life but have death. And we have a choice this morning. Thank God for this second choice. And that is that we can eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise God. No, of the tree of life. I'm sorry. God help me this morning. Amen. Amen. And I need to get my focus here upon the word of God. But we have a choice this morning. You have a choice. I have a choice. We have a choice whether or not we can serve God. And the Lord will not stop us. I've seen the loving hand of God reach out to those that were in the process of backsliding and brought them back. And I'm very, very excited about that and thankful for that. But there are others that have left having known the powers of the world to come, but were willing to make a choice of death. Isn't that awful that we have the opportunity for life, but we choose death? Young person, choose life. Amen. Choose life in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the tree of life had the knowledge of good, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of eternal life. And when you think about that, I say all the things that are involved in the kingdom of God, what I'm actually talking about is all of the things that we have to do to bring down our flesh, to bring our flesh into the subjection of the will of God. Amen. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Amen. And there is a death. There is a death that is required for those of us, all of us here this morning, that have a desire to go to heaven. Amen. Does anybody want to go to heaven this morning? Amen. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful. Amen. And the knowledge of God, the knowledge of life from the tree of life, the knowledge can only be received by the right attitude. It can only be received by the right attitude. And it can only come to us through the spiritual man, through the man that is born of the Spirit. It can't come through study, amen, not by study alone, because I have seen people that study the Word of God and read the Word of God, but miss it completely. I remember when I was starting a church in Plymouth, Massachusetts, I got into a little bit of a debate with a Baptist minister, and he was refuting the oneness of God. And he told me, he said, I study 8 hours a day in the Bible, and yet his mind was closed to the simple truth that there is only one God. There's only one God this morning. Amen. Praise God, there's only one God. And he missed it completely, not because of a lack of study, but because of a lack of the right spirit and attitude that was in his heart. Amen. What we must have is the attitude of the innocent and unassuming, the babes in Christ. And I read that this morning in Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? We want to be the children of knowledge this morning. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It's not just enough to know doctrine, but we've got to understand it and understand the principle behind it and why the Lord wants us to live a holy life. Very, very important that we look at it that way. Amen. And so the babes, the little ones, amen. And we've all had fun over the holiday with the little ones. And so innocent and unassuming. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning on my grandson, but they're just a sponge that just soaks up everything that's going on around them. And he's at the place in his life where if Grandpa says something, he repeats it word for word. If Grandma says something, he repeats it word for word. If Mama says it, he repeats it word for word. Very innocent, but doesn't have an understanding all the time of what's actually going on. Amen. And when the grandfather clock goes off and it's 9 o'clock and it dings 9 times, then we have to stop everything that we're doing and we have to count till 9. And I'll say it's 9 o'clock. He has no idea what 9 o'clock means. If the clock broke, he wouldn't be able to fix it. If there was any technical thing about the grandfather clock, he wouldn't have the faintest idea. All he knows is when it goes off, it's time to count. Praise God. And sometimes we get so smart in our mind that we miss the beautiful things of God and we develop an attitude that is not of God. Amen. And the choice that Adam and Eve had, of course, was a choice of life or death. Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, if you'll turn with me. Mark chapter 10 and verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And Matthew chapter 18 and verses 4 and 5. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I want to try to reach to that place. Amen. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And so there is something about it. I often wondered, why, Lord, did you make it the way you did? Why do we have to start out as an infant and we have no teeth and we have no hair and we don't know anything and it takes so long of time. Amen. To start as a babe and get into a mature adult. Well, praise God. It takes such a long, long time. And it takes a long, long time to get a right spirit, takes a long time to get a right attitude, amen, and be able to comprehend the height and the breadth, amen, and to understand over time when we mature that it's not about me anymore. Praise God. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the work of God and it's about others. Praise the Lord. Going to talk a little bit about that tonight in the service. But the Lord was very interested. They brought little children to him. And the mothers wanted him to bless the little children. And the smart folks, the mature folks, they rebuked him. And he said, don't rebuke them. Let them come unto me. And he put them on his lap. And he touched them. And he spoke to them. And probably had a prayer for them. And said, this is the representation of the kingdom of God. And it's in many, many places in the Word that we find that students of knowledge are those that are like little children. Amen. Just like a little child that soaks it up like a sponge. Amen. We must soak up the Word of God and soak up the good things of God. Amen. And draw close to the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Yes, we have to deal with things in life. Amen. But the things of life don't control us in the realm of the Spirit. There's a difference between the world and the church. Amen. A difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And we must choose on a daily basis sometimes which one we're going to let control us. Amen. And what we need to control us is the spiritual man. And so Eve ate of the fruit. And Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, I want to read down through verse 6 this morning. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So there is that serpent speaking to humanity. And the problem that she had was she listened to what he said, and she actually answered him and got into a conversation with the serpent. She began to talk to the serpent back, and that's the first step in going the wrong way. And he said, didn't God say you could eat of every tree? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Just said exactly opposite what the Lord had said. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, everybody said good. And that it was pleasant, everybody said pleasant. Amen. A tree to be desired to make one wise, everybody said wise. And so it was good, it was pleasant, it was wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. Everything that relates to the flesh and the world was right here in this scripture. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of God, but they are of the world, and the world passes away, and obviously death will come when we get involved in the world. But the world is the easiest way to go. It is the path of least resistance. Amen. But we are not called to go down the path of least resistance. We are called this morning to go down the path of life. Amen. And the reason she ate of that fruit of that tree, I believe, is because it was beautiful. Scripture says that it was pleasant to the eyes. And so the fruit was pleasant to the eyes, probably had a very sweet smell to it, and had everything that was pleasant, everything that was good. And the serpent will come along, young person, and say, if it's this good, then why can't we have it? Amen. And the enemy of your soul will try to take you away from the path of good. I know we pray a lot at the altar, and we repent, and we ask God for forgiveness of things that we've done. It's just so much easier to go to the world and let the world tell you that this is more fun, this is a better way. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning, it's not the better way. There's only one way that's right, and that's the tree of life. Amen. Don't get involved in looking at beautiful things all the time. Amen. Because it will lead you in another direction. Because sometimes the things of God don't look that beautiful. And sometimes there are things that arise in the church that are not beautiful. Amen. There are things that arise in your life according to your walk with God that are not beautiful, that are difficult, that is under the realm of sacrifice and humility. Amen. Those kinds of things. Praise God. And it's easy. It's easy to go the direction of Eve. And so Isaiah 28 and verse 1, I read it this morning. I read verses 9 through 13 and starting, but I want to go to verse 1, and I want to show you something here. See, we've got to get it all in the right context. Isaiah 28 and verse 1, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim." Now, he's talking to the church. He's talking to Israel here, the Old Testament church, "whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength that turn to the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way." The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And so what he's saying here is it's the saints and the ministry as well had gone astray. "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." And we read the rest of it this morning. And so there was a time in the life of Israel, and the Lord was actually bringing that out to Israel, hoping that they would be able to get a hold of knowledge, but they did not get a hold of knowledge. Amen. What a terrible place it is to get in life. where you are controlled by your flesh. And there are many today that are literally controlled by their flesh. And don't forget it, the devil gets involved in that. And it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. Amen. Oh, praise God. But there is an answer to the dilemma. And it is the children of knowledge. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who is it that is going to endure the time of trouble? You say, well, everything should be perfect. My friend, everything is not going to be perfect. But there will be, in the midst of a situation, I won't go back over some of the words that were used there, but there was nothing that was clean. And I think this really is like America. There's very, very little that is clean in America. And we're living in a very sensual, devilish, earthly society. And I'm afraid it's not just in America, but it's worldwide. Amen. Praise God. And there is, in the midst of a ungodly situation, something that is in the midst of a backslidden church, amen, or a backslidden nation, as it was according to Isaiah, a nation that was not too long into the future going to go into Babylon, and their country was going to be ravaged. Judgment is going to come. Amen. And, you know, we had tongues and interpretation here not long ago. And the word that came to us is that there will be a time of trouble. Amen. And don't ever forget that this world is not going to be a perfect place. That everything that you expect is going to happen the way it should happen. Amen. I certainly would like to have things different in some areas of my life, but I've got to stand on the will of God and the purpose of God and the call of God. Well, praise the Lord. And it's not just for the priest, it's for the people as well. Amen. And they could have pointed a finger at Ephraim. They could have pointed a finger at Levi. They could have pointed a finger at the priest and say, the word of the Lord says they're backslid. The word of the Lord says that judgment is going to come. And that the wrath of God, and they're going to be carried away into Babylon. And so therefore, I need to depend upon my knowledge, my wisdom. But I'm just here to give you a simple message this morning that there is knowledge, but it's only for those that are babes. It's only for the humble. It's only for those that have the right spirit. Amen. And not only that, but those that are full of the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. He said line upon line, precept upon precept. And he also said, for with stammering lips and another tongue would he speak to this people. Praise God. And so knowledge and the wisdom of God comes through the Spirit of God. There is revelation in the Word, but you'll never get the revelation of the Word unless you're in the Spirit when you read the Word, unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. And verse 11 and 12, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to the people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Amen. It's so easy when situations arise to lean upon logic. Amen. so easy to lean upon the mind, your mind and your flesh, and say, well, if this is the way it is, then this is where it's going to go, and this is what's going to happen, and so we have to do this, that, or the other. But I'm here to tell you this morning that what we need is the knowledge of God that comes through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Folks, we don't even know what to pray sometimes. And we have to get in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost pray for us. I don't completely understand that, but it is the Holy Ghost that prays for us and gives us the wisdom of heaven. Amen. And we cannot be the one in the front that is telling the Lord everything that they had done, how much they fasted, all of the knowledge that they had of the Word of God. And then in the back, there was a little babe, amen, beating his chest and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to be here. Praise God. But sometimes we get the attitude, amen, that the church is blessed because of our presence. And I'm not saying that you're not. We're all blessed to be here. And I'm very thankful for everybody that's here this morning. I pray that the church will get full in 2021. Praise God. And we're going to be talking about that. We are going to be talking about that. But in order for us to fulfill the will of God, and I know you know these scriptures this morning, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Everybody said see. You can't see the kingdom of God. And I would like to add to that, you will not be able to perceive the kingdom of God. You're ready to make a big mistake, amen, unless you're led of the Spirit. And that's the students of knowledge. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, Jesus said, you should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it's a very simple message this morning, but young people, you've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis. Well, praise God. Mom and Dad, you've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis. We must be full of God's presence in order to have the wisdom that He has for us, or the knowledge. Acts 2, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Acts 10, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 19, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen. What we need, folks, more than anything is to get in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Can we stand together this morning? Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I'd like to jump up and down and run around the church this morning, but I'm not in that season, and I just wonder if there's anybody that'll jump and run for me in the service tonight. Praise God. You say, I'll take up pastor's place, and I'm going to jump up and run, and I'm going to back up the ministry. Amen, because I've got to hear from God.
Amen.
If I don't hear from God, I'll be as those that go down into the pit. And what a terrible place it is when you cannot hear the Word of God. Amen. What the Lord is looking for more than anything is somebody that's just like a little child. I'm going to soak up the Word of God. Not only am I going to listen to the Word of God, But Jesus said, be careful how you hear. It's not just hearing, but it's how you hear. It's the spirit, it's the reception, it's the faith, amen, that goes along with the preaching of the Word of God. And Paul talked about it in Hebrews, and he said, they have not all obeyed the Word of God. They heard the Word, but they did not obey the Word. And the reason was, is their spirit was not right. There was not a humility. There was not a repentance. There was not an attitude of reception that said, God, whatever you want to speak to me, I'm willing to hear. And that goes for the prophet. That goes for the priest. That goes for all of the people. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Can we do that right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness this morning. Thank you for your goodness this morning. Oh, God, I need your wisdom and understanding. I need your knowledge, oh God. For I am weak, but you are strong. I don't know the answer, but you have the answer. I praise you this morning. I thank you this morning for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Does anybody feel to come and pray this morning? Amen.